June 2012, the farm, part two.
She decided to go back to her office and get some work done.
As long as we don't hear a dog bark like we did with Scott, right?
Well, was that a dog? I don't know. That might have been just Scott's bark. I don't know.
Or one of his kids.
We could probably get started on some of this stuff, like the John Day Southfish Turbine number 3 update.
Not only know, but know.
Want to replace the gearbox.
No. So, John Day will replace the lubrication system for the gearbox in late June. At that time, they may still want to replace the turbine pumps, but the two other pumps will be operating and the fishway will remain in criteria. Before, it was anticipated that we would have to take the AWF out, but now we don't have to.
Okay.
So, just an update.
Okay. Well, it's more than just an update.
I mean, it's
we're having issues with it already, and I don't know.
This is the new one.
Yeah.
Well,
the no,
that stinks.
One of it is the
new one.
That's why I said the. I didn't say.
So I don't know. There's probably some issues with they bought those parts 5 years ago and then had them machined again, and maybe that's they're not fitting quite to the spec.
What's the problem?
Is it getting too hot? What?
This one, the lubrication system just needs to be replaced.
Right, lubrication system, but that doesn't tell me. Doesn't sound too bad.
You're having problems. What kind of problems?
Well, Medina, I thought was going to be here.
The problems, I think, are I thought I heard some cavitation issues.
For that, or
that sounds like machining.
Because
the update for the north is that those pumps are nightmare.
Hey, what does this sound like? I mean, is it Ice Harbor that we had?
Stop! Don't take me back there.
Was it Unit 11 that we can?
All right, so that's the update.
We're spending O&M money on stuff that we're not getting anything for.
Well, we're getting new stuff that just
doesn't work.
That has no problems.
The interesting thing, though, you have to remember is that to rehab something generally is cheaper than going out and buying a whole new one. And so, first off is because we're low on funds, there's a tendency for the project to want to go that route.
Sure. But they should. But rehab usually means it comes back.
This was a rehab.
Like
this is
new.
They bought a brand new one.
This is the one that we were waiting on last fall to come, parts of it shipped from overseas that didn't get here, and there's always been this ongoing problems with this one.
Yeah, John Day's been on
the first one of the three, so hopefully that this is really just a
trial run.
A lubrication issue.
Maybe they put the wrong lubricant in there or something. I don't know. Well, if Miro was here, he'd be able to get it.
Well, they replaced the gearbox as well later anyway, right? So it's more than just lubrication.
Well, they're going to replace the gearbox later if they need to.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah. That means the gearing ratio is probably
awesome.
Which doesn't make sense either because they should know. I mean, it could be, yeah.
Well, unless that's the part they're trying to lubricate here.
They should turn.
Right.
The spin.
Oops.
That whole thing is cursed, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So,
John Day has been.
Feels unnatural out there. Cables break. That's what's wrong.
More to come on that.
It must be the singing wires is setting about residents up there. I don't know.
That was originally in the Dina coordination form. So now I guess it's
okay. So let's go right back into avian pinniped hazing.
The reason you're here.
Yeah.
Finally.
So, Ken, go ahead. Why don't you do your PowerPoint.
You do know that Chris cursed that by having the restart button, so it's going to restart halfway through your presentation.
No, it's just going to ask us if we want to.
Until it tells you. No, it doesn't. No,
yeah.
It is great when it doesn't even ask you. It says, I am restarting in 10 minutes. I've had that happen. I've had it. It's like, it doesn't even ask. It's like, I'm restarting in 10 minutes, so you better get your stuff saved. Damn it.
Wow, this is a PowerPoint just for us.
We're special.
We're honored.
No, he just changes the title block for every meeting.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Which one am I going to this time? It's right, F-bomb.
Looks pretty nice.
So are you part of the Eagle translocation program down to the estuary?
The Eagle
translocation.
The Eagle translocation program down to the estuary.
Build like platforms in the barge. Or
yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. So we can transport some eagles from upriver down as they travel.
Native predators would be nice.
Plenty of them down there.
I did love the one where the eagles were so fat and heavy they didn't even need to fly. They just walked around the island. That was awesome.
I missed that. They raided that.
They raided the cormorant.
Was it cormorant
colony? They nailed down
all your feet right there on the ground.
There was like nine. It was like 2 weeks ago. About nine or was it? They saw 18 total. They saw at one time like nine of them just literally walking through the thing, grabbing checks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they're just like grabbing chicks. And the joke was they were so full they didn't even fly. It's like, oh, I'm so full. These chicks are so good. That's what we did.
Ask me another one.
Yeah.
So can I get like some sauce on this sale one? At Walmart or something.
Oh, man. It's like a Costco. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about avian abundance and deterrent measures at NWD dams.
Russ Keeper.
Has joined the conference.
So what we're doing is seeking recommendations from FPOM on what actions structures you feel might be needed at the dams for future years to help deter precipitous birds. And these would be actions including the aphis hazing that's being done, including lethal take if necessary, limiting lethal take, avian deterrent wires, devices such as propane cannons, hydro cannons, and perching deterrents, various wires, and so as I'm sure you know, that the deterrent actions taken up the projects are considered part of the ONM dams. Recommendations received will be considered, and decisions on what will be done in future years will be made by the projects, and as well as funding implementations. So here's a table. It's actually from the was from the draft in the Inland Avian Protection Management Plan, and it summarizes what's currently happening at the projects as far as avian deterrents. Just kind of run through it real fast. A lot of projects have perching deterrents. I noticed that it's kind of the boxes that have the X's are the dams that have these structures or actions. So I noticed Portland District projects don't have perching deterrents, but that I may be wrong with that one there.
We have some in John Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Bird wire arrays, that's of course present in all the projects, especially covering the powerhouse and the spillway main projects. Hydro cannons are most projects except for a couple there. Boat base, you get John Day and Ice Harbor have some boat base actions. People take currently not occurring at any of the projects. That's part of the regular actions. Propane cannons are in place in many projects. Distress calls, only Ice Harbor is listed. Pyrotechnics, all places. Hazing efforts, hazing pretty much starts from April 1st to the 15th of the various projects. Goes on at least till early June at Lomo, and it's the end of June for ice and the granite. Goose mid-June, then you get to the Portland projects, you get to the end of July, McNary, August 4th. Generally, you have at least eight hours of hazing per day, at least, at all the projects. You see that many have currently have 16 going on for at least part of the time. Ice is 16 for the whole 3 month period. This year, McNary added 16 beginning just on June 3rd, as currently the Dalles also. That was in response to some bird problems.
Touche. gift or
okay. And here's some graphs of Indian libraries to show, as well as some graphs of grid abundance at the dam. So looks like some Portland people already left, but maybe Nathan, you can speak about the Ray or the Bob or
Tammy might know something about the Bonneville. She might be.
I can tell about the Bonneville Ray a little bit. So the black lines represent where the rays are presently in place. Typically, there is an array that covers the outfall. It was removed because they needed barges in there. There's some concern from the project, specifically about this array, this downstream lines like that. It's got the huge round float-looking things on it. When the tailwater's high, it gets pretty close to tailwater. It's interfered with research boats trying to get in there, etc. So they're interested in either eliminating that array or trying to maybe raise it somehow. So that was a discussion that probably needs to happen at some point. That's a picture of Bond, really. There's also ground-based hazers that circulate throughout the project, particularly covering the outfall and the powerhouses.
Wasn't there, and you did get the wires back up in the spillway after the work. You're going to take them down again this year for the work in there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to put them back up. Where, was it Powerhouse 2 that you had lost a lot of the wires?
Corner collector.
Okay, so corner collector. And you guys are talking about what do you want to do there? Okay.
Well, they need to be there. Yeah, I think we've, it's that for this year. It's
it seems like we're pushing the bubble. We push them out of one spot.
We need to raise the anchor point. Yeah, it's not so bad right now. But yeah, with tailwaters around 30 feet, that's broad.
I've seen it in the water before.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I didn't realize that happened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. It'll take somebody's head off if you're screaming through there in a boat.
I was talking to Ben, and he had said that USDA had preferred having the anchor points along the shoreline so you didn't have the cork line, but they ran clear across the channel. And as I recall, we didn't choose that option because recreation didn't want to have the impacts with fishermen. But John Day managed to put anchor points in.
I think it's a matter of trying to cover this up. Well, that's kind of a unique spot without going all the way across the river.
When Ben gets back, he can talk to it. It's one of his agenda items. So
it was very effective. It was obvious for this year because we saw a lot of activity this year without the lasers.
Similar map for the dowels. Flows coming this direction. This is the powerhouse side. Spillway side. The newest thing happened this year was they added some more downstream lines for sneaking in above the bridge. In this place, you can still see predation below the bridge, and then a little bit coming out of this here below the powerhouse.
Yeah, this is the point I brought up about spill outside the wall. As soon as you start putting more spill outside the wall, you're more likely to push those fish over towards the islands, and we just don't have coverage over there.
Yeah.
So that's where my concern about spill bays at the Dalles comes in. And then the question is, do we need to do something more?
Are you worried primarily about bird predation, or are you worried about
fish? Well, both, but bird is something we can actually deal with. Aquatic predation, I don't know what you do.
Well, bird predation, yeah, because what you get is upwelling against the shelf out there, and that brings fish to the surface. You're covering most of that, but a lot of the bird activity I saw this year was actually below the bridge.
Yep, right.
And you know, it becomes a question of how far can you or do you want to
protect
or shield.
And that's what I'm wondering, was it just because the birds have learned that's a new place to spot, or is it the fact that we had so much spill outside the wall that we're just putting more fish down there in a more susceptible area? Because when they're in the wall, they should hopefully not be over. It should be pretty deep and hopefully covered. That was our whole master plan of
it
the Dalles.
Was. One of the problems, though, when you have really high river flows is the 40% spill inside the wall is a high amount.
And yeah.
That carries way down the river. Yep. And fish that are in there can actually be, I think, roiled around
for an extensive period
a long
of
ways, yeah. And even below the bridge.
Isn't your, is your C2 release below the bridge now, or is it just still above?
Oh, no, it's way downriver.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's down. See those islands down there a ways?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
The C2. Second control release.
The S2 release.
S2 release below those islands.
Yeah, there's a probably below the boat launch even in that.
Yeah, it's, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's not on there.
You wouldn't see it.
So, Gary, you're thinking that you haven't maybe given them a long enough time to recover from going over the spillway
to the
bridge?
Yeah, I think under the highest spill levels when you're running full gate openings all the way across the side of the wall, that carries way down the river.
Carried down.
Yeah. So what's the fix here?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you can boat hazing down below.
Yeah, boat hazing is probably the easiest.
Why? It's expensive.
Yeah, that's wires, you're talking below.
Can you go
bridge.
To the end of the nav lock there, or does it go all the way there? Is that going to help us any?
Oh, put wires in the nav lock and work your way back. Because you can fan it that way a little bit.
And you're under the bridge then. I mean,
well, the question is that a problem?
Or to the bridge.
If we're not connected to the bridge, ODOT shouldn't have an issue with that.
Well, you could actually connect from the tip of the nav lock guide bolt back
saying,
to the
yeah.
bridge.
That's the one thing that's been talked about. Is there's some potential to maybe work with ODOT. It'd give you a little more coverage, but that, you know, so that means that some of the birds being here, you know, your birds are here.
You'll be down. Yeah, but at least you're covering the... The only reason I would say do that is because of the way the spill does really kind of boil along down there, so it's still part of the project, directly part of the project operation. It's not the river at that point yet. It's still...
Project influence?
Very strong, yeah.
Well, technically the project influence goes all the way down to the S2 point, so...
It does, but I mean, I'm just talking about the boiling part of it. I mean, the actual observational part of it. I mean, I know that there's hydraulic influence further down, but probably not what the birds would be... keying in on, but here they are keying pretty heavily in on that area just below the bridge.
And that's the question: is what can we do? Is bird wires? Would bird wires be effective?
It would.
I think you'd start there.
Yeah.
Because that's probably your cheapest, easiest option.
Yeah. Well, I think I mean, if we want to get into the overall discussion, bird wires are what you should do in all areas where you can, and then you need to back that up with some hazing. That is responsive to where the problem is popping up.
Yeah.
Stealing the show here. So
we're just trying to get you done.
Do you guys have recommendations for this project and where they might add more lines?
Yeah.
Do you see a recommendation of, not that we can afford it, but more boat hazing, that kind of stuff?
Well, I would see recommendation of additional lines below the bridge or
start
that area under the bridge. That area, I think, is still... influenced by the project strongly, and we did see a very strong presence of gulls there this year.
Well, and we still have the roving team that we could use as needed to deal with predation. And if we start seeing problems, then we use that. And if that turns to be where we don't have enough, then we start to talk about maybe adding a boat hazing group to just the dials or something like that.
Well, I don't know how effective, I mean, it's a pretty big area, how effective the APHIS guys are on, you know, they're based on
shore-based.
I think
shore based at high flow.
Keeping the birds
not very
out from underneath the lines, and in some of these areas they can be pretty effective. This is a small
but
area.
Down below there, probably not.
Down here,
Yeah.
I mean, they haze typically from the shade under the bridge. You know, they're launching stuff out in the air. It can reach the close birds, you know. But
right.
Anything out of the ways.
Okay. Well, that's you know, that then it really comes down to needing some wires there, I think, and then if it becomes a real big problem. Although, you know, at some point, you just got to let things happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I encourage you to think about what that really buys you.
Well, my choice would be
to fish on another
get Sarah and fund your bird wires and then dam-based hazing and eventually no dam-based hazing.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, you don't have a choice. You're going to have to have dam-based hazing. You're just not going to be able to let bird wires work on themselves.
And
they'll never work.
Well, when we get to the end state, then we'll have to make that decision on what we do and how we do it.
And I think
it might
you're
be
kind
a
of
different
stuck
contractor.
With,
you don't need to do APHIS all for everything.
No, you can hire me. But,
Gary's getting close to retirement. He still seems
Bill
pretty good with
the
shotgun.
Go out there and do it.
The thing is, Bill's going to stay there at McDonald's there and throw bread up in here.
Yeah, he would. See, that's the thing is,
I'll drive to and from McDonald's.
Heather will show.
Smarter
this
approach.
Is great. Heather will show the bread up in the air. We don't have a shotgun. I see how.
Bill,
pull.
Nice. I'm shooting at the bread.
We do have
these
to get through, and I know we're on it.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
This is some information from Dan and Giles. These are the kind of things that I put in the front of my report. I just wanted to try to provide Ken with some numbers to show you guys. I think this is the data that comes directly from the project biologist. They collect it over time. And it's probably right now the best long-term data set that we have.
So you have you're going to have a year-end report out sometime?
It's off review right now.
Internal to the core? Or is
no.
It?
External. We're, so Dave Trachtenberg out of Walla Walla Distance. Hey, Dave, are you still on the phone?
Not if you're smart.
Dave T?
Go. I'll have to look to see. It may be in my inbox.
Well, last week, I think. Was it last week? It was pretty recently.
This week, I think it might have been Monday.
I think I do remember seeing an email from Dave talking about
it. Yeah, well, it's got an attachment that's got a meeting report for you.
So. Awesome. Because I've had so much time to look at stuff. Because I keep going to meetings.
Well, if you worked 8 hours a day...
If I only worked 8 hours a day, I would have left long ago.
Well, you're really after him today, aren't you? 8 hours a day.
Be careful what you find in your water bottle later. It'll be like lemonade.
Are you talking about the 2011 avian predation analysis at John Day and TDA?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The email came out on... June
11th,
draft.
Monday.
When
what I have on the screen right now is figure one from that report. Okay. Just to give people a sense of some of the history, the magnitude of birds that these two projects.
Now, these are magnitude of birds counted in a specific area, the tail race.
And entire project numbers.
What I don't see up there are the wires, which will change during those times, too.
The wires change nearly every year.
Right. Well, no, they were changed dramatically, though, with the increase of John Day. That was a big change.
Right.
And then we had a big change at the Dallas.
That was 2009.
Right.
And this change from here to here, that was that change. I guess probably the bad news story this year is that these lines in 2011 that were here, the bird numbers were really low, the lowest we've really seen recently. Those are going to pop back up to some degree. Right, bird counts have dials over time by species, so 2010 and 2011. These are all birds, all behaviors. So, for example, these cormorants are roosting cormorants primarily. They roost on the transmission tower on the North Shore. They disperse during the day. They come back to night. The gulls are primarily actually feeding birds.
Well, of course, they roost there, but they're foraging probably.
They're
close
foraging
by.
Elsewhere on the river.
Yeah.
We don't see them within the project bounds, which was basically this a line from this area right here to this area. But here's the roost area. These are three transmission towers right here.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Evelyn's feeding him with his Wonder Bread. So.
His Wonder Bread.
And then we have similar information for John Day.
Cormorants don't eat Wonder Bread.
With sardines in them, they do.
Low arrow, powerhouse size.
They do if it's
size.
Wet and you're making up balls. It sinks.
He is balls.
Yeah.
That's a popular bait this year for spring chicken.
I've lost my audience. All right. Okay.
So yeah.
Go ahead. Keep our interest.
This is your time.
You need to get up and dance a little.
And now I'll pass it back to Ken to talk about McNary's.
Okay. I just want to note that the slideshow you're seeing now is actually an update from the one that Tammy emailed with the agenda. We have the bird slides, bird abundance slides that they showed. Also, I have some updates for Ice Harbor. Corrections to their bird abundance slide. So here's McNary. You see right near the powerhouse there, there's the green lines. That would be the current wire row, about 13 wires.
Those are wires?
Wow. When you said there was bird wires, I was expecting something a little more impressive.
Well, I was thinking there weren't any.
I know, when I first thought, really? Yeah, no, because I remember
now
like,
I know why.
I remember telling you, oh, no, we don't have bird wires there. Now I can see why we always thought that.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, there used to be more wires than this
before
the outfall was put in, because they had to take the old outfall out.
Right.
So there were wires to the west of what you currently see, as well as some wires that connected from the shore to the barge dock.
those had to be taken out to access the Olaf Hall. According to Carl, he hasn't seen a problem with the birds returning to that area, mainly because Alfall's gone. So
not that
right?
area.
Right, right.
Yeah, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah, McNary is definitely.
It's
what's the project? Big, what's the big yellow semicircle out in the forebay?
That's just a zone boundary. We have zones that we established at each project for purposes of the bird observation reporting. And Nathan's group was kind of spearheading the effort out to the project, talking bios. So that's the forebay zone out there that bounces on boundary.
Okay. That follows a log boom.
Okay. So is. Does the Corps have a plan of what they're planning? Because we did see some fairly impressive bird activity this year at McNary. Is there an action plan for what you're going to do this coming winter?
I don't know if this is the time to do it, but that was on the agenda, was to update the McNary bird situation.
That's the next one down here that
okay,
he's going to do, not
the long-term plan that he's asking about is, I think what's going to happen
is
that,
long-term.
That the... survival data from the performance standard test will be reviewed and see how the bypass outfall perform.
Well, it's not the bypass I'm worried about.
Yeah, well, it's...
more the spillway. If we see a dip in spillway survival, I'm going to have a feathered culprit I'm going to be pointing to.
So, and then you're going to have to recall that part of the reason that there isn't more extensive arrays across the spillway to some extent deal with the ability to get barges in and out.
We don't care.
I know. Well, you don't, the only barge that's going there is a transport barge. And the only fish we're transporting there are fall Chinook.
Don't.
And we only transport barge fall Chinook for, what, 3-4 weeks?
Stop barging from.
So just remember that, I mean, the hope would be that CRFM would fund any additional bird wire.
Save some money.
So
what we're trying to pick the point here is you can stop barging.
Stop barging?
Right here. Resolve.
Stop barging out there.
You can make a decision, yeah. But...
yes. We're going to save money for you.
Stop.
Okay.
Absolutely stop.
I'm putting that in the notes.
You can. You can get NOAA's official position.
Okay. You can get concurrence on that.
Who else do we have to talk to?
Maybe Russ. Send Russ an email quickly.
No. Russ
make sure he's coordinated
phone.
With.
Russ
make sure he's coordinated
phone.
With.
No, I'm on the phone.
Oh, there you go. You've actually talked to us.
Can we talk about barging at McNary?
I mean, honestly, though.
Yeah, yes, we can.
I mean, honestly, what needs to go forward to make that kind of change?
Transport cop?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, let's not hang it on that, because that could be years.
That could be years.
Well, it's supposed to be done by the end of the year. I know that it's supposed to, but they do have, I think they are, I just saw Alex the other day and asked him when that was going to start, and he was said his plan to have it done by the end of the year, which means that he'd have a draft maybe by August or September out for review.
He hasn't even had a team meeting.
So yet. I see how this is going
to
go.
I haven't been to one either.
Well, there hasn't been
well you know how these have gone, but the deal is...
The cop's going to tell us to keep barging.
Well, the cop's going to tell us to keep barging.
Everybody's going to
make the performance standard the first year, and so then the Corps is not going to want to do anything about avian predation and tail race. That's what I see.
Potentially that could happen.
So right. What, we have to pray that the birds ate enough fish to have not made the performance standard? Is that really...
That's what we have to
awesome.
Do in order to get protection for birds at this project. Because awesome. I think... if there's one place where you need to have wires across the project, it's this one. After what we saw this year.
Yeah. Has bone-based hazing been tried there?
Not yet, because of concerns of safety with spill and all that. But
you'd have to do two boats at least.
We had a meeting earlier in the week, annual work plan meeting with Apes Wildlife Services, and Carl Duggar was there, and what he did bring up was that he's interested in looking at putting some wires. So it's a short wire array close to the spillway there that wouldn't interfere with barging. So that's up on your radar.
It had to be up the upper end of it, though.
Yeah, the upper end. So it wouldn't be very extensive. But
so you could cover that widest plume, basically.
You're wasting your time in doing that.
It's not enough.
Yeah, there's not much there.
I mean, if you just go out and watch the birds, they're hitting in the area below the TSWs particularly, but even across... and this spill doesn't look right. I don't know what year that picture was taken.
Old.
Or maybe it's a summer spill.
Yeah, the pictures are definitely old. They don't represent current spill.
Summer spill, but it looks quite different in the spring where you have more flow towards the south end of the spillway. Yeah. And they're hitting the area out from the outfall between there and the extent of the white water most heavily, at least the times that I've been up there watching the birds.
That's what I've seen at most dams.
And so that's the area that needs the wires, and the decision needs to be made ASAP on this barging idea so that we can get John Day type system up there, not just a little side system. That's not going to help. You need something like John Day where you have... I realize there's a long, you know, we have John Day.
So, I mean, the potential is they put out the top, contest it as technical, and elevate it to the policy and argue it there. Because
that's
likely we need to have a recommendation from this committee.
Oh, sure.
That's probably where it starts. So, if we can agree in this committee to move something up, then I know a policy will end up deciding this. But O&M committee, I mean, based on what we saw this year, McNary was the problem.
There was an increase.
I would
issue
say
there.
That you're not meeting the biop and having an effective bird deterrent program at that dam, based on what I saw, regardless of whether hydrocannon works or doesn't work.
We give them a choice. They either have to do two double boat hazing in the BRZ with no wires, and that costs oodles of money, or you say you put a bird wire up and you live with the ramifications of that, i.e., no transport.
Right. Right.
So that's really the only options you've
that's
got.
That's it. I know. That's it.
Well, I'm here to help.
No,
but you
I
see, then we won't get that
right
August or that late July barging if needed.
Yeah. All of it.
No
barging.
All right.
No barging.
We're not barging in the spring right now.
I think
so.
Hot water.
It's
truck.
You can truck
is what we can do.
You could truck, and then that's the reason we put the new outfall in.
We've thought through this. Okay. I mean, you're not telling me anything I haven't thought through. Yes, absolutely.
You don't have the big picture yet.
We are sure. No, I have the big picture.
Okay.
I have the big picture. I thought it through. I talked with Richie and with Paul. And barging should stop.
At McNary.
So maybe barging could be discussed at a different time.
Ken's meeting.
No, my point being is that we think we give you a path forward for your
relationship. No, I mean, we need to make decisions as we go through this. So this I don't want this dog and pony show here. We need to talk this through. McNary is an issue that is probably the number one issue that I can think of, besides being able to move our teams around, our deterrent or our hazing folks from dam to dam as they're needed. And we certainly can't live with eight-hour hazing. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When I was up in McNary this year, there was no hazers. I mean, I'm watching hundreds of gulls pounding the tail race. There's not a soul doing anything about it. And apparently they were all in a meeting somewhere, which is a bad time to have a meeting. You know, but I mean, they were, and even then, there was an eight-hour effort. We need a 16-hour effort, or at least the ability to implement a 16-hour effort when the problem pops up. I wouldn't say you always have to have 16 hours everywhere, but you need guys that can respond as needed. And I mean, I think that's the cheapest way to approach it. Instead of having two teams at every dam, you have maybe two or three teams in the whole lower Columbia River that are responding to the problem.
Yeah,
they
want that written coordination form that will some kind of box where we could get a hazing move on top of another if needed. So the idea is maybe the project could pitch in and fund a full-time hazer and go rover. So that's an idea we tossed out. There's possibilities like that. Otherwise, it might be maybe a little bit of overtime. So we could funds in to cover overtime if needed.
Yeah.
You know, a couple hours here and there. They're limited to 48 hours per week that you work.
Mm-hmm.
Just for safety reasons, but there's some options out
there. Especially when
I
got a gun
on
the
hand. All right. Carl talked with the APHIS supervisor about safety of getting a boat in there, because you know, such a big project, you get a boat in there, really, you can cover a lot more area faster.
Okay.
And so the APHIS guy has a lot of experience operating boats in these kind of conditions. He thinks they should do it. So I think they're testing it out, you know, getting a boat in there. And,
mm-hmm. Well, that would be great.
Yeah. Find out from the city, because we had the same thoughts that John did. It turned out we needed two boats. So
two boats.
You might get stuck with the two boat. You need a safety boat as well as a boat for when the guys are actually doing the deterrence.
That's in the BRZ though.
Yeah.
If they're gonna haze this area effectively,
they're gonna be the BRZ.
They might have to get into the BRZ.
Yeah.
Hard to tell. Maybe they could do it. Down here, this water just might be too rough to sit in. Down here, if they're behind that pipe, I think they're going to have a hard time
Shovel water too.
Engaging anything over the top of the outfall.
unless it's high tail water.
Well, yeah, we didn't see, again, I don't, you know, limited experience, but a lot of activity along the pipe or above the pipe or even below the powerhouse. It was all below.
This area right here.
Yeah, right in that area there was the biggest thing.
Yeah,
is the BRZ.
Right here, that's going to be tough to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hence that's why the wires really is the only option other than boats. You kind of narrowed down to your two potential options.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I guess from the standpoint of cost, the best long-term strategy seems wires and maybe a little bit of lethal take occasionally.
Well, that's the other thing I've talked about.
Have you been talking to Blaine?
We get into this.
He loves the lethal.
But well, lethal. I mean, it really seemed, when I went out after you were screaming, Gary, you know, Carl pointed out a couple of occasions where, you know, without lethal take, you know, like, for instance, we had pelicans that were right in front of the propane cannon and no response. In other words,
good,
we know you can't hurt us
death.
Type thing.
Lethal take of pelicans will never happen.
Too long.
Yeah. No, but for gulls. Lethal take of gulls is really what we'd be asking for. So I think Ken is going to look into that.
I know.
No, but for gulls, definitely. I mean, I don't know why we're not at this point.
Can't we just ask U.S. Fish? They seem to get permits pretty easily now.
They do, yeah. I mean, they killed 15 gulls so far. Down the East End Island.
So should be no problem. We should be able to get those permits, no problem.
Yeah, we talked about that at that other meeting also. all the projects are interested in having limited lethal take as needed for next year.
Yeah.
So just we have to look at our environmental
that's good.
Well, we're FOIAing that information so we can pass it on to you. The information U.S. Fish used to come up with that 50 fish take. So
are you guys
FOIAing that one.
Oh, okay. Well, Blaine,
good,
serious.
Good.
Yeah, Blaine got some.
He got yelled at yesterday. Golly went after him.
Okay, I'll
find out how that went.
There you have some person deterrents. You see the one that says there, some wires strung over the barge dock handrails and the outfall pipe, which has kept birds off the outfall pipe pretty effectively. You need the outfall. The outfall has a hydro cannon installed. As you know, it's not currently working, but it's due to be fixed by the end of June. Also, there's propane cannons. Five of them situated mainly around the spillway, So here's these spur data is taken from mainly the observations done by the fish biologists and the biological technicians. We have lots of data, you know, 10, 15 years of data, and a lot of the data is taken from when the biologist of the fish inspection has opportunistic time, and also the biotech and the separator, they may just get tail race area sometimes, not the whole dam. But so, you know, the data it's not real scientifically collected, you know, and standardized, which is kind of why we have Nathan's effort going on here to help improve that. So the data they're on just some trends right now. And here we have 6 years worth of data. The most recent data is from the front row. We're going to work way back with older data. You see for goals in the spillway, you have a general peak, of course, in the juvenile outmigration peak. And then also you have a general increase in the fall. 2010 data, for whatever reason, they stopped. They didn't collect data past the end of May, so that's why it's kind of a blank row there.
Is that your brain left?
Okay, yes. There's a spillway corner.
There's no fucking river.
See, it's pretty low most of the way until you get to late summer, into the fall.
It's Chad.
Yeah.
We don't care. Sorry.
Yeah, right. That's a good thing. Yeah. You're all predators.
Huh?
You're all predators.
Yeah, but if they're not a problem.
The only downside is it just means the Chad are feeding the predators through the season.
They are, but if the predators aren't
like
pretty good.
Like your cormorant population, they could change your mind.
Not yet.
One fire at a time.
Pelicans. Actually, the numbers are that's a bit higher than what Dave Key and I thought we'd see looking at the data.
That's where keep it
especially the earlier years. More recently, it's been a little bit less than like, but still, you get a lot.
It's because they moved to John Day.
We're doing good.
These are just raw count data, but I'm looking at, right?
Yeah. This would be daily observation.
Because it'll be interesting to see how the asphalt change affects this too.
Pushes it.
Yeah, we're mainly looking at numbers and the tow rate because they're building out the area. They're almost concerned about the dams. Not really a floor bay. Good. Kearns, McNary. Again, kind of past years are a little bit higher. 11 was fairly low. Okay, next. Ice harvest. The array there radiates from the boom structure on the south shore all the way across the spillway powerhouse to the end of the guidewalk wall. Here you see the left-hand side of the bottom, there's that picture of Eagle Island. It's about half a mile downstream of the dam, and it's actually one of the zones, too, that we put in because they do have birds down there that roost. Pressure deterrents, there's wires starting over the Navlock wall handrail and spider wire on the light poles on the wing wall. Okay. So here is Ice Harbor Tow Race, Greenville goals. These Greenville goal counts may also include California goals. Just the way the data was labeled, that's why I'm keeping it right now. So you have two general spikes again, you know, in the spring and then again in the fall.
So why the December spike?
Shad are strong out migrants in December.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, that's
October 1.
If you're a bird watcher, that's a great place to be because rare gulls show up. It's ladybacks.
Yeah. 2011 data, you see a lot of the early season time and the later after the summer. Looks like there weren't any inspections, there weren't any counts done. Okay. Okay, Ice Harbor, Eagle Island, Greenville Goals. So here you see the numbers are fairly high, especially for 2010 in the fall. And I was speaking with Mark Plummer, you know, he's saying they do see him down there. And what they've done when they do their boat base hazing, they'll haze starting from the closer to the dam. Kind of chase the birds downstream and off the island, so they work all the way down to the Eagle Island.
When is that? That's in the
spring.
In the spring?
Yeah, it's 4 weeks of the four pay periods of boat hazing, right, Mark?
Yes, it's currently still going on a couple of days a week. Pretty much when we're starting to see the birds, especially gulls like you're talking, coming in mass, and those guys get out there and push them down past that island, which seems to be fairly effective. It really works well. They station a hazer on the land up closer to the dam. The boat will come up to the boat restricted zone and then just start pushing their birds all the way past that island.
Okay, next slide. Ice Harbor Tower-based pelicans. Data's pretty variable when they show up. You see in 10, you had a lot in the late fall, but not necessarily in every year. In 09, you had quite a bit in the summertime. And for 11, kind of have a gap there, but data was taken right in the middle of the gap, but I guess there was no pelican seen, or not many. Okay, next. Eagle Island pelicans, still the ones roosting over there, especially just last year in the summertime. So, when they chase the gold down off Eagle Island, I mean, are they also encountered the pelicans out there? Are they allowed to also push those off at the same time because they're mainly going for the goals? Or
I think there's some some reaction by the pelicans that are mixed in with the gulls, or hazing the gulls, but certainly the pelicans are moving a little bit, but they don't move as rapidly as what the gulls do.
Okay, next, Ice Harbor, Torres Cormorants. Kind of spread out. Well, I'm not sure what that is. And you have some minor peaks there. Okay, next. Eli and Cormorants. Numbers maybe just a little bit higher than in the Torres. Okay, next. Lobo, so you see the green wire ray by the powerhouse. There's a hydro tank and the outfall pipe. Perching appearance, wires run over the knobwalk wall handrail. Spikes installed on the downstream end of the wing wall deck.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Mark again. Before you get too far into Lobo there, I just wanted to point out that boat barrier up in our forebay is we get a lot of cormorants loafing on that. And in the past, I put what they call a spider wire on about a dozen of those, hoping that they wouldn't spin. And then they did. They spun. So now the spider wire is under the water. But I can't think of any way to keep those birds off of there other than hazing them off. But then when our aphis agents in the tail race, of course, then the cormorants are sitting on the that boat barrier. So if anyone come up with an idea to keep those birds off that boat barrier, that would be appreciated. But then on the other hand, I think that the boat barrier is necessary because of having that that little sailing club right above us there. And we've had some of those people lose the wind and then lose their little kicker motors before and have to assist them getting off the shoreline.
Better than going on the RSW.
So, Mark, you said when you tried placing the spider wire, was it just kind of horizontally across the top of, they're basically barrels, right? Like a plastic barrel that can rotate?
Yes, that's exactly what they are. It's like two halves of barrels put together, and they're made to spin so that debris will pass underneath them, but they were starting, the bottom was getting fouled with aquatic plants and so forth, so I thought they weren't spinning anymore until I put those spider wires on, and then the next time I looked at them, they weren't there anymore. They were under the water.
So yeah, I guess the only thing I would suggest is if you had enough wire or spikes to string up is that you place them under like a band, maybe a couple of bands, or three or four bands, circling the entire barrel, so regardless of
what
or not, you'd still be able to prevent it, but it would take a lot. I would, it's something you could try on a few of them to see if it keeps the birds off those specific barrels.
When Dorsey...
Yeah, I thought about that too, and my concern there would be the debris. You know, what is the debris just going to take it out? Just take them off of there?
Depends on the cost of material and the cost of putting it in place. If it's too expensive, it might not be worth it. But
the other option would be putting some weight, just put some slight weight on the bottom of the barrel so that barrel wants to stay in one position, but it can still rotate. Once the debris passes and that kind of stuff, it could rotate back down, so your wire could always be up. But that's not super easy either, because you're going to have to put weight on each of the barrels. But just put enough weight so its tendency is to go that way.
Some water or something?
Yeah, just put like just... water on the bottom of them, just put enough so it's like the tendency is to always be in that
water
one position.
Won't work. It has to be attached to the barrel itself.
Well, but I'm saying you can attach like water bags, like a rubberized water bag on the bottom of this.
Attached to the barrel itself.
Yeah, attached to the bottom of the barrel. So when you get debris, the barrel rotates, but when debris passes, it's the tendency of the barrels to want to go back into one position.
That's an option, and that's kind of what I thought was happening just naturally by the fouling,
weeds.
Fouling underneath the barrels. And then maybe that's the point. Maybe we just don't have enough on there.
Yeah, just enhance that
position.
Little counterweight.
The barrels are not hollow. They're filled with foam or whatever floats them.
Yeah. I mean, you can try that with a couple barrels, see if that works. If it does, great. If it doesn't, find some other brainiac to come up with an idea for it.
You know, I even thought about like putting paddles all the way around them so they do spin. Maybe they need to spin.
Oh, there we go. Spin them fast. Idea. I like that. Are you going to hook a generator to that? BPA can talk to you.
It'll be an exercise.
Lincoln power.
An exercise.
Micro generators.
Thing for
cormorants.
Cormorants. Let me get through running. Yeah.
Like a Japanese game.
Okay, well, thanks. Maybe if you come up with something, let me know.
I was just going to mention that Jeff Dorsey bought a bunch of those spikes, bird spikes, mm-hmm. and he's got, like, they're in the warehouse in Portland, and I don't know how many hundreds of those segments he has, but they're there. Just
gotta
an
be
FYI.
Out working instead of sitting there.
Yeah, well.
Spike the drum. You sorry for the poor boater that has to go and get the spikes.
Damn it!
Something to think about if you ever need them.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
Yeah, I got to go back to Portland. I heard a Mother Wall tonight.
Limo.
This is going to be more interesting to see with the new outfall. This all works out. So we've had issues in the past, Limo, but with the new outfall, I guess we'll see what's changed.
Okay, here's Lomo. Goals in the tail race. Tail race includes the way they take counts with the spillway and the powerhouse combined. Not the alpha, separate zone count.
Garrett.
So we have
you have shad that high.
Two obvious peaks here.
Damn.
You
know, yeah, that's what's going on. I didn't realize shad
goals.
Were that popular that high up above now.
Okay, next.
I didn't either, but that's but 200-300 goals.
Lomo, Cormorants,
out there for their health.
Spillway powerhouse zones.
And there's like Tammy, you know, going their winter vacationing.
You know, you see them in the summer.
Palm Springs outfit.
Going into the fall and late fall.
Pants to
you. You see some of the low lines in the first row.
You always wear those pants to me.
Kind of from the beginning of the season. Those are basically zero caps, so you've got a kind of birds in the sea.
Hopefully not. Usually not October. Usually you see it until like January. That's when they usually after the first.
Little goose. Here you see the array, dotted line, dashed line by the powerhouse there, kind of orange. And then you see they also have on the map the water cannon, which is that blue. At the end of the outfall there. Also, there's the propane cannon at the end of the Nidlock Ming wall. Then you have your bird spikes on the craft shear boom and four bay, and then also the on the bypass boom, and also the lights in the parking lot.
Lights.
Yep.
That's zero.
And here's a little goose, tail race, and four bay. The reason why these counts combine is because just the way they're recording the data, they're kind of all thrown together. So it's pretty hard to separate it. But there you see, again, no goals in the spring, and then you get a smaller one in the fall. Again, seems like this year is less goals than previous years. Okay, next. Little goose, double crested cormorants. Again, combination of 4-bay tail race. This is 2009 through 2008 data. The recent 2-year data was from the Hazer data, so that's all these really included here. We just have the bird observation counts by the file this year. And here you see we get numbers coming up in the summer and in the winter time. Okay, next. Lower granite. You see the Y array is fairly extensive. Goes to the end of the Yablok wing wall. And Christian occurrence, there's a wire above the wing wall handrail. Royal spike wire on the guidewall deck and spider wire on top of the guidewall light poles and on the four-bay buoys. So I guess he doesn't have problems with the buoys spinning around. We talk to him, I guess, and see what he does. Okay. Here's our low granite goals and tail race. See quite a few in the spring. For some reason, they don't get the numbers in the fall. Just in the spring.
No shed.
So I guess we know how far up the shad go now.
Yeah.
Because I was surprised they were all the way up at Little Mountain.
I was too, actually, that many.
I didn't think they made it that far yet.
And again, last year's council goals were fairly low.
I don't have a goose, let me tell you.
Okay, next. Lower granite, Tilray's cormorants. This was a part of the study that OSU did back in 08 and 07, and they asked for assistance from the project biologists to take some counts. And this is what Low Granite did September through December. So you see they are around that time of year. That's the slide. We kind of talked about it. It's getting kind of late, so I don't know how much more we're going to talk about it.
Well, it depends on where we're going with it all. Yeah. That's,
I
guess I'm going to have
to. What I have written down is bond wires need to raise anchor points for the water collector. The dials need to protect fish here and scale outside the wall, potentially adding additional lines below the bridge. McNary, we talked about John Day type of radar that would cover the majority of the BRZ, or at the very least, a better deterrent program of some type. And maybe that's two boat shifts for up to 16 hours of basing a day. Ice Harbor, talked about the barrels and ways to prevent that. Missed anybody's comments?
So, yeah, I mean, we went through a variety of species and a variety of dams. What were you guys intending with the presentation?
Well, just to get the, make sure we capture the input, and you know, we'll definitely bring it back to the projects, and I was hoping to get more involvement. That you know, but you know, we'll definitely discuss it, and of course, it's a matter of, you know, it's only a matter of funding, and, but you know, definitely keep those things in mind. We're setting up the 12 work for the 13 work for APHIS. You know, so we can, you know, this is the time now to get it set up for what hazing we're going to be done for, what we'll work and be done for next year or so.
Well, I guess I'm seeing all the other species makes me question where we're going with that. I mean, the Inland Avian Group is working with from a habitat-based approach, from a population-based approach on everything but gulls. And I kind of pushed the gull hazing it into O&M and to, you know, projects to do that. So, you know, as far as pelicans and terns, cormorants, I don't see that as really part of this group's responsibility at all. What I do see as problems, you know, we touched on some. I think there's needs for wires, particularly at McNary, but and maybe some embellishment at the Dalles. But the most important thing that I see not working well is the ability to respond, to identify, and then to respond to problems that come up at projects. So that's the key thing, to have a very good reporting methodology that's responsive, a program that's responsive to that real-time reporting capabilities. So, you know, we're not there yet. I know Nathan's been talking about this for a while, but what I'm not seeing is a very responsive or nimble process yet. And I think it needs to be, because these birds will move around quickly on us, as we're seeing. We saw that with John Day, we saw it with the Dalles, now we saw it with McNary. They'll move, they'll take advantage of situations. If we're not paying attention, and we can't react quickly enough, then they're going to have a strong effect, I think, on survival in those locations, or at least they can have.
Yeah, we definitely want to improve the response time that we have with the APHIS Wildlife Services.
Yeah, and or whoever.
You can maybe do that, you know.
Yeah, but we need to be able to identify the problem quickly, and then to get that response, you know. So you need to have the responder, but you also need to have what triggers the response, and that's the monitoring effort, as well as some triggering mechanism within that effort that says, you know, that's quick, you know, I mean, today, quick response that says, okay, we've met a trigger. We see an activity that's increased to a level that we can't allow to continue, and we need to move these guys that are already sitting here up here tomorrow morning. That's what I'd like to see. I want to see it that fast so that we're responding quickly.
So that's the type of framework that would need to be set up pre-season.
Yep.
And it's going to take a lot of people to agree on that framework and what's going to take place.
Yeah.
But as we move forward, money's reduced. This idea of having mobile crews is excellent. I'm an advocate for it for sure.
I know you have.
But we end up in conflict. We end up in a lot of conflict because once a hazing boat leaves one project to go to another,
well, that's where the I understand, but I don't.
It's going to be tough.
It's got to be bigger than. It's not just the project's responsibility to make these decisions, because the project's not seeing the overall picture of predation in the region. So what that needs to be something that's made from a central location, somebody who's looking out at the entire basin and seeing what's going on out there and saying, yeah, no, you don't really have a problem. Yeah, you're seeing a bunch of gulls there, but that's not what we're concerned about. You know, what we saw at McNary, what I saw at McNary in May, that was a problem. I see 300-400 gulls working the tail race, another 50 or so working the outfall, when I had never really seen that before. That concerns me. You know, that was just a quick count, too. There's probably double that. I did not think that accounted.
Yeah, and talking with Carl, you know, sounds like you're really interested in having 16 hours of hazing.
Yeah, and I don't know that you even need that. I mean, you wouldn't need that if you didn't have gulls. You need that when the problem develops. I mean, we could put that everywhere, and then you would probably never have a problem, but we don't have the kind of money to do that, I don't think.
I don't think we do either. That's kind of the responsiveness also tied to money as well.
I know, guys and cars, but I mean, I'm talking about a crew. And the other part of that needs to be, I think, they have to have the ability to lethally take a few gulls in these locations on a regular basis. So that lethal take permit is necessary so that birds get the point.
Yep.
You know, it's like, this isn't a safe place to be.
Yep. But only if there is a persistent problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you have hazing preventing, you may not need to.
Don't need to. I'm only talking about a group of people, hazers, that are responding to what we would consider a real problem from a regional standpoint, not from just, you know, a local small standpoint. Yeah, you got a problem there, but, you know, up here we have a real problem. This is going to be affecting the project's survival overall. Mm-hmm. Then you respond to that. And I'm hoping that the wires and the you know, the non-active, the passive hazing and things that we have up there are pretty effective. They generally are. Yeah. There's the reinforcement.
But they still need to be supported by active hazing to some extent.
Exactly.
But always, like what we've seen this year at John Day, when hazing ends at 3, the birds are coming back, well, but they're still staying outside.
See, that's a problem. Ending at 3. You know, you don't want to be. I don't want anybody to be able to say that because it shouldn't end at 3.
Right.
The birds will learn that.
We wanted to. We were planning on adjusting it and maybe vary that to confuse the birds.
Right.
But my point, which I didn't finish, was that the birds were still staying downstream of the avian grid, which was a good thing, and mostly even further downstream, not immediately.
And that, then we're not so worried about them at all. You know, not really not worried about forebays. That's not a problem, or even the island, you know, below Ice Harbor. I know that's where they're staging and they're sitting down there. But, you know, it's the problem is really where they're feeding, and you know, if they're sitting down there and not feeding in the tail race of the project, I don't care. But if they're feeding in the tail race of the project, I care. If they're feeding in the river down below someplace, then we'll work that out with the Inland Avian. That's a different problem.
The Colonel.
That's a different problem. That'll be handled through a different process. But for the project-specific avian hazing, avian predation reduction, that's what you care about, is that particular area. I mean, if you need to focus, you know, it'd be nice to look at everything everywhere, but you know, every species and all this stuff, but when you need to kind of focus this effort from a monetary standpoint, save some money, then, you know, we just really care about that outfall area.
Ice Harbor.
What's that?
Has left the conference.
From a practical standpoint, I agree with Nathan that this is really a funding issue because we can clearly identify what it will take to abate the bird predation, but if we don't get the funding,
Byrne bailed, but
the colonel calls.
Yeah. The colonel calls. I mean,
you may not have any budget.
Can't work. That can't work. I mean,
The avian predation abatement line item is the next level down, and they're saying that that level is probably going to be cut.
No, it can't get cut under the. I mean, you've got two things. You've got a biop says there needs to be effective hazing, goal deterrence at these projects, specific requirement, RPA. Mm-hmm. The other part of it is that if you meet performance standards with the hazing effort, you need to continue that hazing effort. It's an important part of it. You know, we think that the lack of effective hazing at the Dalles a couple of years ago was the reason we missed the standard. I mean, that's how important this is. It can cause you to miss the standard. And that maybe it won't in the future, but because it did, is enough to... for us to easily say you need to continue to do it.
That's an interesting argument to make, Gary, just looking at the numbers that I've generated from our group.
The numbers.
0.2% to 0.1% of small patch in the dam.
Yeah.
You think that is missed standards?
When you're at 96% and it doesn't take much to go below it.
I mean, you're right at the edges at all these dams so far. We've been right at the edge.
You've been right at the edge of the standard, so it doesn't take much to drop it.
Bonneville with Steelhead or something was well over, but that was the only one I've ever seen that was well over the standard. So, right at the edge, it can put you over, I think, or under. And it just does, the point is, that is part of the package. One, the RPA and the BIOP does say do this effectively, not just token, but effectively. And the second part of it is that the standards have been met under that kind of operation. So, not funding that is going to be elevated. That'll be a big issue, I think. If you can't fund it, then where are we?
It's good to start that conversation now rather than waiting until it's
December.
I still don't see this as being a hugely expensive. And the wires themselves, I realize, are an expense. Up front. When you get those up, I think they're effective. We've seen that from Wanapum on down, but that's an effective way to go. The rest of it seems to me to be the project biologist reporting to somebody, whether it's Nathan or somebody in the region who has the ability to control the hazing effort, and that, you know, that person or those people, when they hear that there's a problem somewhere, assess that problem, look at it against whatever their action triggers might be, and then they pick a suite of actions, whether it's a team that goes up for, you know, to support the team that's there.
Need a hit team. That's what we need.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems to me that that's not that expensive. How can it be?
It can be expensive. It's
surprising.
Yeah.
If once we quit barging out of McNary and summer transport dies, you'll have lots of guys. You just take all those barge operators.
That's why you want to keep barging.
Yeah, well, yeah. All those earlier, those sub-2000 or those 2000 series barges, sell them.
Kiss them goodbye.
4000 series, sell them.
So then we'll never get over capacity at Lower Granite when we have to do max transport because we'll always have spare barges.
That's transport.
You know, for those low flow years like 2001. Okay. Well, you know, Granite and Goose are probably never going to go away.
No, I don't agree. I don't think they will. But summer
they could.
I think
we're flexible. I think we're up for discussion to see where the data shows us on some of the other stuff.
Mo McNary and summer transport, I think, are up for grabs.
Good. Yeah,
and McNary shouldn't be considered a transport location except maybe for truck transport later in the season.
We could do that.
So you never have to barge it. Then you can get those wires up where they need to be, do a John Day type. But that needs that.
And
we need
Criffin
to get that.
Needs to fund it.
Well,
to be honest with you, I mean, what did the average cost for John Day end up being down there? That's just well beyond anything we can do with O&M. So it's going to have to come out of the Criffin program to get.
Was it 3.5?
Yeah, it was
over
pretty
6 million, I think.
That's what I was thinking too. Okay.
That's so before maintenance, though, right? I mean, that the maintenance piece is still an unknown piece.
Yeah. 2 years of barging.
But that's the cost of doing business, guys. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, that's.
Well, it's also, I mean, the flip side of that coin is when you talk about having two dredger boats out there, you know, 16 hours a day. 2.5 million, you can do that for a long time.
Well, that's the other side of it, too, the effectiveness.
And how you maintain your flexibility.
Yeah, I don't care how you do it, as long as it's effective. That's the whole point of the buy-up.
It really is. It comes questions. Do you want to do, like, one upfront cost and then with the maintenance, or do you want to do a higher annual cost, but maybe not as high? That's really the core's decision on that one.
Well, yeah. It's not as easy as that because, you know, as you guys just discussed at lunchtime, you know, you got one bank of people that is on the CRFM line, and you get the other bank that's on O&M. And O&M, over the long term, unless things change, couldn't do the increased cost over the long term that you're proposing.
Hence the reason I know. That's why I'm saying it's going to be the core decision of which path they want to take.
I don't think it's a decision unless Tim Dykstra becomes very successful getting money out of D.C.
Well, I know. When I say it's the core decision, I think we know which decision it should be.
I mean, there's always the jeopardy with no RPA. I mean, if we can't maintain the RPA, then you have no RPA, and you still have jeopardy.
Yeah, well.
And that's, you know, hate to throw that threat out there, but that's the true, it's true.
Well,
that's the way it is.
And then you also understand that when we get pushed into an emergency situation, then those folks on the other side are sometimes able to come up with money that before that they'll never come up with, too.
Right.
So,
right. Well, that's,
you know,
that's where
we might have to go there.
Jeopardy with no RPA will scare
we might
the hell
have
out
to.
Of anybody. Because I don't know where that leads us, but you know, it's coming up.
I don't think it's where anybody wants to go,
we
can avoid it.
And things like this seem like, I mean, really, we can't.
Shouldn't we be able to find a way to get
two guys driving up and down the river chasing birds around? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And wires? I mean, that's pretty simple, pretty cheap insurance, I think.
John Day, we need bolt hazing, so that's.
I don't think you have to have a policy, though, do you?
One shift, yes, most of the time. There are some days we may not, and I think it varies from year to year. In a wet year with stronger flows,
I didn't see much going on.
Fish are protected naturally, but in a dry year we haven't seen that yet, even with the current.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't think we've seen the worst of it.
In the long run, maybe Nathan, you're right. You know, I mean, they have to go after the population itself, but. That's going to be a much difficult. That's going to be real difficult.
Well, the tougher it is, the sooner you should start, right? Because the reality is, bird numbers increasing across the West Coast. More people in the area. You have more landfills, more land converted agriculture, and we've created breeding islands, and we feed them.
Yeah, just
fish.
Politically, it'll backfire on us. I know it will. I mean,
if you quit funding Audubon?
I'm not.
You could give in your annual membership.
Reactive in terms of predation abatement is going to be kind of difficult because the situation changes daily, even without our intervention. So I think it's better to be proactive, that is, to have the programs in place, because if you're going to be only reacting to what you're seeing the day, even day, on a very short-term basis, you may not be.
I just don't see you just can't fund it. You're not going to have the funding for that. Don't see that.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be something that's more skeleton. But
hopefully it is.
As delightful as this discussion is. What's the end point here?
Yeah.
What do we need to do? Do we need to set a task group up? What do we need to do to get to move forward on this? We need to get some sort of recommendation out of FPOM.
We need a recommendation, but I can give it to you. I think I just did. But
Sounds like these guys were taking notes, and so that would be the recommendation that would be the meeting.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you guys. There's
so you'll
some
take
sort
it
of
back there, kind of the recommendation. I mean, so
what task group is this?
The Inland Avian Group.
Oh, the Inland Group. Yeah, right. But I mean, we've kind of thrown this into the O&M pocket rather than Inland Avian, you know, to some degree, to come up with something that's effective. And I still think having, well,
I just want to make sure.
I've said it.
One, the tough thing about splitting those two groups, one downside of that, is as contractor works forward doing that assessment, lethal take is not being considered as far as the projects go. And that could be a big setback. It might take time to work through that process.
Lethal take's not being... Say that again.
Because the inland avian group has been kind of split between either on-project or off-project, and now as they work through... What's the process they're going through right now? Can you help me with the...
The environmental impact statement that they're working
on? They're going through the EA right now. No, it's an EA.
EA for a month. Right. So that no longer includes any of the actions that happen on the project.
No, it would have to be a separate EA.
But it seemed like that was a good opportunity to try to address that, and now it's not going to work. So I thought that was important.
Well, when I talked to Paul, he said now would be a good time for the two districts to get together because they are rewriting the EA. But he also said that the Corps committed to non-lethal take for a number of years, and we have to run through those number of years before we'll look at it.
Do we know? Yeah, we don't know how far we are. Did you ever get a hold of Paul?
There wasn't a number.
What? He conveniently didn't tell me the number of years.
A number, and or who committed to it, or what?
No, it was just a number of years. I was like, all right.
Yeah. So it was probably something like five or something.
That's probably why he didn't tell me.
Yeah, but it's been at least three probably since they made the request.
Well, we had that little issue with people were feeling they were a little too free with the shells.
Was that what killed it?
Yeah.
Was just that A5 guys?
There's still plenty of bad blood out there.
There's bad feelings about that, because that basically is what kicked it off. It's like, oh, we're not doing a good enough job of tracking what's getting killed. There was that problem, and then that kind of said, okay, we're going to stop doing that. And at what point?
They were... put in the corner for 5 years. And
well, that's the question. It was 5 year, 3 years.
Sent to the room without...
We were just told they weren't going to pursue it, but...
And then they tried the EA, and that failed miserably.
Exactly.
Because when they put it out, there was no...
Well, U.S. Fish just... U.S. Fish peed all over it.
So we were stuck. We had an EA that was worthless, so that's where it fell. That was the last
one. And that was like Wertheimer, who worked on that one, and then Wertheimer... went to Afghanistan for like 2 years. So,
Wertheimer worked on that?
Yeah.
No, he worked on that? I thought that was worked in Walla Walla. Walla Walla.
I thought it was USDA was doing the EA.
USDA, and that was.
We were going to try and use that, but we couldn't because.
Remember Wertheimer? Because that was when he was working at the Dalles. Oh. And that was right at the time. So he was like, oh, we should really. Wertheimer, he gets excited to go shoot something. So.
I thought that at one point we were working off the APHIS allowed take out there where they had. You know, they were going to move some of their take from the...
We did it, John Day, for that 1 year.
That was experimental.
That was experimental research, and it was from the Mid-Columbia, that we borrowed some take from the Mid-Columbia.
1 year it was for research, and then the other year they were able to tack it on to their quota, whatever they...
Because they had a quota.
Upriver.
Yeah, because from pre-strap as a Wanapum, they never used their full quota, so they allowed us to use some at John Day that second year. Yeah. And then that's been the last for the lethal take we've had.
Sort of a snafu situation.
Well, they killed thousands of birds upriver. Thousands.
Yeah.
That they've got. They were allotted most of the take, is my understanding. Mm.
So we can't even kill a few birds to enforce our hazing.
I have to collect 100 goals for diet studies.
U.S. Fish did?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not to mention they could kill bully gulls down in the valley that are harassing turtles.
I know. They're 50 so far. I think this needs to be carried forward.
Why do you think we FOIA'd that information? Can we see the justification for that? What was your justification?
Routinely.
Yeah.
We can go kill turns for giggles.
Update, or do you want to
save the turns?
Update discussion item. I mean, you guys are going to work forward. There's money issues. I don't know what we can do as fish agencies. I mean, all I can say is we've required it in the biop. Require it to be effective at each project, not just one or two.
Yeah.
So it's a requirement. Mm-hmm. It's also a requirement under the performance standard testing because you've implemented that already. So you can't just back away from it. So all I'm saying to the Corps is, how are you going to do it? And we can throw some suggestions out there, but there needs to be an effective avian deterrent program at each dam. That's all I can say. And if you guys,
and we
need to define what that is, what's a problem. At the worst, it's not a huge problem, as Nathan is showing. So, you know, a bunch of gulls at a dam doesn't probably mean we need to go out there and, you know, start screaming and shouting. But at some point, you need to be able to say, yeah, this is not good. Right. You know, like what we saw at McNary and what I saw at the Dalles below the bridge with this year, too, looked kind of bad to me. I don't know how really bad it was, but, you know, maybe.
There's also just the perception of it's something that's very visible that the general public can see, that managers can see, that we can.
I can't imagine. I mean, if you had told OPB that there was something going on at McNary, they'd probably been up there with that new outfall. They would have made a story out of that with the gulls and the fact that the cannon wasn't working.
And the one point I was going to say is that we might have an inroad, like I said, McNary, saying we have a new outfall with change configuration. We need to add wires to that. And if that gets to CRFM, if you guys can take it to CRFM, we can support it
there. CRFM should be willing to support that because I was on the PDT for the outfall and bypass outfall relocation, and we fought putting it in until we knew it was an issue with the hope that the transport COP would be resolved as well so that when they put something in.
You were optimistic, weren't you?
Yeah. But now I'm no longer there, but I'm here. So I vote differently here than I did there.
That would be my recommendation to say at McNary.
But what's going to happen with them is, you know, that they're going to wait until they have at least an estimate of how well they did to know the severity.
At the very least, you could put it on there and say, and put it as
a system. I think it should go out that, yeah, you know, that's one of the recommendations
is that
something be built there. Now, argued for the next few months until we have the data.
From the John Day experience, outfalls can be covered pretty nicely with avian lines, and they're effective 100%, even without hazing, because it's a local kind of.
It'd be a start. It wouldn't, you know, what he was saying earlier is that we still have a spillway problem, and so that spillway might have to be covered separately then.
Well, I'm saying you would wrap those two together, McNary.
Hopefully you would.
Wrap them attainment of the standards. I mean, that's really what, I mean, for better or worse, that's why the Dalles are the.
That's why
Day,
they were able to act as quickly as they were. Yeah. So that's why if you wait until we have the data, that you probably could get action faster out of CRFM.
Yeah.
But their take home can be, you know, the potential that you'd like to see more, which kind of kicks it to CRFM. As well, I hear maybe, you know, as each project develops a scope that they're going to go out with, why doesn't that come back to FPOM so that it's on your radar what they have planned for next year? If you have some comments, there can be some interaction then back and forth with the projects.
I mean, it's, again, I'll just say effective. We need to have effective deterrent measures, and so it's really up to you guys to decide what that is. And, you know, we can help with.
I mean, we had discussions on the downstream projects in here. I remember Byrne a few months ago talking about changes that and why, and we had those discussions, and we didn't entertain them for Walla Walla District stuff. We could, you know, just.
Well, we aren't seeing, I mean, you have yet to see other than turns at Ice Harbor, which is, I think, been pretty effectively dealt with. Any real problems upriver. I mean, there's been some issues. We've had pelicans feeding at the outfall of Lomo. Few gulls here and there, but it hasn't risen to the level of being really. And you know, and turns really aren't the issue. Because turns are going to be dealt with Crescent Island issue with the inland avian. So I wouldn't worry about turns. I mean, even though they're there, it's gulls. And gulls, you see post breeding dispersal and the numbers jump up, but that's usually past steelhead out migration, past Chinook.
We just move gulls around from the food source to food source, too.
We do.
There's so much ranching.
But their
and stuff
food source is very broad.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's not just fish. I mean,
They'll go up and feed in the fields, and they'll feed at the garbage dumps and parking lots and everywhere else if they have to. So it's a matter of just moving them away. And the problem with gulls is getting at the compensatory additive part of it, too. Is we know they're killing a lot and taking a lot of viable fish, but when it comes to arguing that point, we know also that they're taking fish
dead
that
fish.
Are viable. They're dead fish. And so how much, what percentage of viable fish they're taking is another.
Well, that's a whole another element that we could argue, too, because to be honest with you, my take home from a couple years ago when the buyout came out is that, you know, the real change that we see in our survival numbers due to all these avian efforts is in a low flow year. The rest of the years, it's such a small percentage. For all the money we spend, we could probably spend that money a lot better.
Yeah.
So, you know, We can go both ways with that. You know, it's another one. How well are you perched for when it's a low flow year to go out there and fully attack and then ride it the rest of the years when it's high flow?
Right.
Unfortunately, we don't have any way to stash those low flow years to have more to arm ourselves with in the following years.
We need to have a program that works year in, year out, I think. I mean, that's just how do you set things up? How do you call people up and say, hey, we need you out here?
Well, the budgeting realities are what really tie your hands because you're forced to decide in a private season how much you're going to spend. Mm-hmm. You're doing that 2 and 3 years out, trying to figure that out all the time. It's difficult. Yeah, I think you really got the nail on the head. It's not a nimble system.
No.
It's not. At least I have a piece of a reporting system, so I don't know if we're ready to
I was looking through your stuff earlier. You know, I mean, that's what you need is to have, but you need a clearinghouse for that.
Right.
You need somebody in the end. All that stuff's great, but there's got to be somebody, and it's not me or Tom or somebody, you know, who's busy doing a lot of other things. There needs to be somebody dedicated to that, and the FFU would be great, I think, for this because.
Especially when they're not here.
What's that?
Especially since they're not here right now.
Yeah,
well, I'm saying, I'm sure Robert would be the one, and Stans will be the one going, we're not taking that on.
I don't know. I think he would.
Maybe he will.
He work.
If he does, it'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, you've got a central clearinghouse, and you've got somebody who's got at least a regional perspective of what's going on to make some decisions on where to apply pressure, even if that pressure is pretty limited, you know, but at least it addresses the RPA and it. I don't see that as being really expensive. I mean, that these guys are cheap. I don't say that.
You know,
I don't know what. I have no idea what it costs, really. But to have the project bios report in what they see by sector, and that goes in to Nathan or whoever, and then that person, based on some regionally coordinated action criteria.
Ideally, we'll have it feed into this little data portal thing that I'm going to talk about a little bit, and then everybody can see it. So Wall knows what's going on, not only at their projects, but what's going on downriver. And we can talk about what that means. There's 100 birds at Bonneville doing the same thing as 100 birds at Granite. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I don't really want to have that discussion. I think we need to have that up front and make some decisions going into the year of what the decision ought to be based on what you're seeing.
There's going to have to be a very clear framework in place for trigger points.
And then whoever it is makes the decision. I don't want to get calls, you know, on that. I just want the decision. I want you guys to make the decision to move. Sure. What I don't want to do is show up at a project and go, oh, my God, what's going on here? It's crazy.
Are we ready for the level piece of it, Tammy? I don't know where we're at.
Yeah, that's next. Go for it.
She's punched her up. Uh-oh. Anyway.
Tammy's enjoy. Yeah, no, let's try to keep moving because we sort of need to get moving. We need to get out of here sooner rather than later.
Gary from showing up on a project and saying, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Oh, it's summary, huh?
Yeah.
So what it really is it's a way to collect information about birds from all the projects in real time, daily, ideally, and then through the season, anybody...
I've memorized it.
Has access. Well, good. I got little instructions for you now.
What
I'm really looking for you guys is to go through in each page, at least put your name and contact on one page, and then grade the figures from A to F. How you like them. Is anybody from Idaho or Oregon on the phone still?
Barely.
You'll find this document
email
on the web,
Russ.
Russ
is multitasking anyway.
He can pull it up.
Yeah. I need to go back and start multitasking.
Can you tell the name of it, Tammy? Yeah.
At least he's not talking to his mute button.
Russ, can you get to the FPOM website?
You mean the one on the attached to the TMT webpage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, if you go there and you go to June 2012, you'll find the document that Nathan's going to be referencing.
Okay.
Go there and it's called FFU Avian Reports for FPOM.
Really what I'm asking you to do, Russ, is that there are a series of mock graphs and a few tables thrown in there. And I'm asking the group to grade those with just an A through an F letter grade. The figures are all numbered, so if you wanted to just do it yourself right now, you can flip through those. Grade them and email me those.
Reporting documents for June?
Yes, it'll be under June.
It'll be under June,
And it's Avian Abundance Deterrence.
Northwest Am?
No, it's FFU Avian Reports.
Oh, I got it down here. I see it.
Okay.
FFU Avian Reports or fpalm.doc.
Correct.
Okay. I am trying to download it from the site.
Yeah, if you guys, people that are here, just go ahead and fill it out now. Russ, if you want to just send me an email with letter grades and my figure number, that would be appropriate.
You can borrow mine. I'm not sure how to grade yet. It's going to take me a while to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Is it too much to ask? Maybe it is.
I think not today. I'm going to think about this because I'm not sure these are all what I want to see.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to reach out. We really deal with quite a few
people. I was going to get
across the board. I'm getting a little overwhelmed myself. It's a little late for this.
Sure everybody can see what they want to see. As the information is coming in during the
week. So Nathan, when you're taking user specified, you're saying that, you're saying that that's something that
one,
as
know,
you look at this graph, you can make these
at a point in time.
These would be
so look, you'll get a figure three right
not really
now,
an axis change, it's going
to
be more of a location.
What happens as you move stuff too.
I think you just have like a summary.
Using figure three as an example, the user specify as a project name, and you could pick any one of the eight projects, range of dates.
I don't really find anything else.
Species, so those are probably just display one species at a time. And the behaviors, maybe you just want to look at foraging goals, for example, and they'll throw up the numbers for that.
That's going to
give
something
by zone. It'll give you the mean value by zone.
So like the back page.
And either by week or by day, depending on the amount of data that we have and what kind of confidence intervals we have.
Yeah, and then maybe the very far back game.
Yes, okay. Because, I mean, this is assuming that you're going to be collecting all these data.
A summary?
Do you need to collect all these data is the first question.
All this is based on the same data? It's just how many different ways we want to display it and dice it. So, by project, we're going to have bird counts by some of the zones that you've seen already. And by behavior type.
I mean, bird counts, I don't really care about anything except goals. And behavior, presence or absence, I know what they're doing.
So, if we could get the recommendations back by the July FPOM meeting, would that work for you, Nathan? Or do you want it sooner than that?
How about a week?
That's not the 2-week coordination period for these guys.
Didn't we talk about short coordination periods earlier? I remember getting
Is this an emergency? Is this an emergency? Is this an emergency? Just let me know.
It's an A through an F letter. Don't think about it too hard here,
Dave.
What you're really asking people is to pick what they think they would need and they would find useful in the future, and so they're just sort of saying, well, let us think about it a little bit because there's probably too much here,
critical. I want to think about what you really need
to go forward
to make an effective deterrent program with.
I think what you do is you start with, like, you have a summary first one, so just kind of like maybe you have one by species of birds, pick the birds, like say, or you just pick goals if you think goals are going to match.
It's just goals.
It's likely going to be goals. It's something that tells you the goal counts at each project. Then with that on each project, then you'd probably want something where you have the zonal thing with a graph, because then you find out, because if all the goals are in the four bay, you're saying that's not a problem.
Well,
if they're all in the tail risk,
by behavior anyway. So if there's 50 goals loafing in a four bay, they can be separated out from the 50 goals.
Just don't want to know.
Yeah, so you need to know first, like, where are all the goals located. Second is going to be, what are they doing there? Are they loafing, feeding, da 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 da?
Right.
And then after that, you might want to have something like, how does that compare to years past or something like that? And then with that information.
Project by project and years past is good. But it's really goals, feeding, and zones with the RAs.
Exactly.
So, and it really comes down to is the spillway, the powerhouse, the outfall.
Yep. That's why the zonal map. I like the zonal. That's why I'm saying, like, the summary, the zonal map, and then, like, the year comparisons.
Don't care.
With that information, I can make a fairly informed decision, like, yes, I think we should have a bunch more hazers there, or no.
We've got a program.
Maybe not where I move my hazers.
So by 21 June, that's a week.
And I'll try to, if I can think about it, I will maybe send this over to Blaine or something like that and let him chew on this.
21 June.
If I can ever get back to the office.
Comments will be due by 21 June.
To Nathan.
To Nathan.
Yeah, that's sure. I'll just have
so you. Maybe we'll come about the line next. So some of course, Ken can tell us.
Why can't you get it done by then?
Do you see where my ass is right now?
What's the problem?
This ass is not in the desk where I'm like work done. This is not another space. This is my come to my meeting space.
Blah blah.
You just look at it and say, do it all.
All right.
No, give me a portable laptop. You
know, we still have some more updates from Ben, don't we? We should move on. We have to get going.
We have the Dells, yes. And we have Bonneville, and then we'll be done.
We'll call
except
done.
For there's a change form that we just need final official.
Everyone, you say okie dokie, and that one's a super easy one. Ice Harbor spring cleaning.
Okay, the Dells avian hazing changes. So, Bob, I had originally thought that maybe you could provide a positive update about acquiring the additional hazers, but the information I have received is not so positive.
No.
So we are working
no chance
on
of hell, basically.
Yeah.
And we're waiting from USDA, right?
No. I heard that the paperwork that was finally sent out to the project was rejected. So it's on Burns' desk, and I have to figure out why it's rejected and if it's
by the project.
That's what he said.
You rejected it, didn't you know?
Yeah.
You rejected a bomb.
So
why did you reject a bomb?
Just a grammatical thing, or if there was an error in the MIPR
well,
number.
Well, Bob is pretty careful about his grammar.
I'm going to correct it, and I'm not rerouting it. I'm just going to correct it. And go.
What's this? This is what?
For additional hazing at the Dells.
Paperwork hell is what it is.
For hazing? For gull hazing?
Well, so yeah, we want it.
Stuck because the paperwork...
Because apparently I'm incompetent.
Well, we have
somebody didn't cross the T or duck
yes.
The
so what we wanted to do, we have 8-hour shifts.
If you'd quit using cursive and just use a quit, that's why people do
5 hours per day.
Did Obama sign off on it?
Yeah,
it's only the fourth time I've done it. I mean, it's all right.
So
the take-home message is you're going to get the paperwork taken care of, sent it out to the project.
This is dirty laundry.
I'm going to take care of it, but we don't have it yet. But
let me add one point. There's a bright side because the birds just dropped immediately. As soon as we started the paperwork, it's like
they went.
Oh my God!
Are you kidding?
They saw Bob at his desk with his pen. Like, so, no, the death warrant.
The grips are good.
Maybe
it's
going out of the dirt. Deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suppose that is a deterrent.
Yeah. Bob walks around the project, the clipboard of paperwork. It's coming, boys.
It's coming. Think about it.
Don't make me sign this.
Don't make me sign this.
Signing your death.
I love it. Okay.
Good. All right. So we're working on it. So next one is the B2 corner collector avian wires. The update on the chains for the cork line.
We can do it pretty quick. As far as how fast we can get them up, the only thing we have to do that's time-consuming is get a tug to take that cork line down and put on the Washington Shore so we can reattach everything.
Okay.
Which means we've got to clear out all those shad fishermen that are lining the bank at the moment.
Yes, the shatterback.
Yeah.
What a vengeance.
Boy.
They jumped up.
I saw the numbers drop to 88,000. I thought, well, that was
we're done. Man. I know. I'm about to go take my boat out. I need some crab bait.
But no, it's just a matter of getting the guys up to the thing and doing it. But, I mean, we have to have a tug to take that big line down on a boat that can handle that thing.
Are you seeing dull activity at the offal of Ed?
Yeah. I mean, not...
I didn't notice a big thing yesterday.
No, I mean, it seems like it's kind of dropped off from a few weeks back.
Well, all the descaled sockeye have stopped moving, so we've killed them all, so that's why they've left. All the
we are in that lull.
Yes.
I mean, they're still there, and they respond pretty quick. I mean, when we go dump fish down at the boat launch, it's pretty impressive.
Okay.
But, no, I mean, it's not like the kind of numbers.
Yeah, we saw quite a
few. They're circling the corner collector outfall and sitting along the corner collector down at the bottom. So they're still sizable.
So I guess the question is, do we feel this one needs to be done, like, now before the subyearling start, or is this can this wait?
And really, what we can do.
I'm not going to scream and shout.
I mean, our birds are so minor, if present at all, we can have a guy almost sit there all day.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably our best bang. But
honestly, I can wait till next year on this one.
Yeah, I can. I think
especially if you have a hazer out there, you can have kind of work that area a little more aggressively. Then I'm done.
The steelhead numbers have dropped dramatically.
Sockeye are basically done. I think they're even coho are basically
they
almost
are.
Finished.
They're all done.
So,
like
okay.
So unless you start killing a lot of sub-yearlings or something like that. But.
Yeah. We got lots of sunbills.
Yeah, we don't need those. Is that it?
No.
I got one thing I'd like to say is that there was some discussion earlier, and I don't want to get too much around the axle about the goose weir position change. God. And people are saying that, well, it's the core discretion because it's not specifically in the FOP.
That was what...
Paragraph 2 of the FOP says, other water management actions and project operations not specifically addressed in this document shall be consistent with several things, including the 2012 fish passage plan.
Yeah, okay.
So that was where I was basing it, and some people are saying, no, it's not in the plan.
Well, the direct language is not in the plan, but it is referred to via
Unfortunately, those people aren't in the room anymore, Russ.
There's some folks in the room that still... I want to make that clear, and I will make it clear to Doug on this, that no, that was contrary to the FOP, that decision.
Yeah, he's not here now, but you'll have to get him, yeah.
All right, so we have the...
Ann heard you loud and clear.
Six Hudgate
Mills. I just didn't want to give you any rebuttal at this point.
She wants to go home.
She was trying to pretend like she wasn't here.
That's right, I was.
She kept shrinking farther front of the table.
I'd already heard her earlier, so she couldn't pull that one on me.
All right, so Ben, go ahead with unit six.
Okay, so for the first time in... that we've seen, putting headgates in, we ended up with a sizable amount of juvenile mortalities on top of the headgate.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. And basically, we have two slots that we can put headgates in. The downstream slot is where we prefer to put them, where that's not an issue because the headgate is technically always covered with water that way. It seals on the downstream side, so the four-bay water covers it. They're having to use the upstream slot because, for whatever reason, those headgates leak excessively through the wheels in the other slot, just the way that the seals are. So they bought it on one headgate on site where we've taken them all off, put wheel seals, basically, and it works, and then it's fine. But it's leakage enough that we can't get in there to do work in the scroll case when they leak. So they've been using the upstream, not to any detriment, as far as we knew, until we saw this. We've done in the meantime is gone down there in a man basket, got off onto the top of the head gates and removed them. But it's a little bit of a sketchy operation.
Oh, yeah. Top of a head gate?
Yeah, and it's installed and you topple off into the scroll case.
So is that a way to gently wash it or not?
Not really. There's not drains that are set up properly. And if you put, basically what the solution we're doing and we're moving forward with it is, put seals on all the wheels, at least a unit's worth, because we only did it once for unit O, which only takes one. So we'll have that option if we have to use, or that would allow us to use the downstream. If we have to use the upstream, we're going to drill drain holes in the top with a flange that will be removable, because if you drill drain holes and put it in the bottom, well, then we're leaking all that water through the top.
Right.
We'll try to use the bottom whenever we can. If we have to use the top, we'll open up those flanges, and they'll drain through like all the rest. You know, there's the back side of that thing is all opened up, kind of lattice.
That's right, yeah.
And they all drain real nicely from all the other ones, but they can't do that at the top because they need it to be watertight when it's in the other slot.
Right, okay.
So I think it's resolved.
Yeah.
It was just a strange scenario that we hadn't encountered before.
Were you going to make a... I thought I saw something in here on the change form, but maybe it was something else.
Well, I think we did talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think you need one.
Right? I don't think we do because
it's not an operational change.
Yeah. It's more of just a mortality memo is what I read it.
Yeah, it was just an MFR, not an MFC.
Okay. So the only thing I noticed in the last week's report, just because it said lamprey, and so I looked at lamprey, got 35 adult lamprey in the draft.
Yep.
And the only question I had, Tammy, I shot her something a while back. She probably shot you an email since then. I don't know. So the adult lamprey, what were they big? What condition? Yada yada yada. Any mortalities?
Yeah, mortalities because it was very strange for us to see that. The mortalities were literally animals almost pinched in half by the tail lugs. There were probably 10 lamprey.
These are adults?
Yeah. Because when they did the draft, is the draft tube work they did last year? Last week's report. I try to glance through those when I can.
Yeah. And we had actually, I'm not sure which one you're referring to, Tom. There were two back to back salvages that were almost exclusively lamprey.
Okay.
Which is weird. One at each powerhouse. So I think they're just dick in the tail race. Actually.
Yeah, because there's that unit one and that kind of stuff. Which is, I mean, it was like I was happy to see that many adults. And then you guys said you released them down at Hamilton Island. You might want to talk with Sean and the lamprey task group and say, do you want to throw these above river?
Yeah. And that's what we did with the next one.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
that one might have had juveniles mixed in with it. I can't remember why that scenario was.
Yeah, because it was a little confusing. The thing is, like, and they were all released down river. I'm going, oh, with the adults, please take those up river.
Right.
Yeah. Or talk to the lamprey research guys.
50% that really want to be below.
Stop. They can fall back through the dam easily enough.
We always, when we have an option, we always do based on the majority of fish, which direction they're going, if they're going.
Yeah.
And then I was just saying the tail race, and fish go wherever they're heading when we can, unless there's like such a mix. I just have to do it.
And then you might also want to contact Sean and talk to the researchers in that. If you do get your hands on a fair number of adults like that again, they may want to use them for any of their tracking studies. Hmm. So. Give them a heads up, because they're having trouble getting adults for that.
This year's looking really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought they
were going to last. Yeah, we always say that. We thought spring chinook was going to look really good this year, so I'm taking nothing for granted anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, just talk to them. If they say, hey, we don't need them this year, you're fine. I'm just saying, but just give them a heads up. Like, hey, if we're doing some stuff, we see some, do you guys care, or do you guys just want us to put, if they're adults, put them up river, if they're juveniles, put them down.
Sure.
Be done with it.
I can chat with them about it for sure. I think, I really think it's just a timing thing, because like I said, I've never seen that happen before where there's that many, and almost, that's almost all there was. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, no,
I've never seen them like that. Where I mean, they had to be, you know, we run the unit, obviously, hard right up until it's done, and we drop tail logs as fast as we can, mostly for sturgeon. And to have that many that got pinched,
so
they had to
be for
a
tail
right
log,
there.
You drop the tail logs in, and they actually...
Yep, there's a whole bunch of them sticking out.
Sticking out of there, half of them sticking out of your house.
So they had to start moving in there.
I know.
That's a lot of lamprey.
How fast were you dropping the tail logs? Was it real slow?
It's as fast as they can drop.
Yeah, but that's fairly slow.
The problem is though, once they're dropping this and then the flow stops, those lamprey may just like adhere and just stick right there. And then all of a sudden, like, what's that big stone on me? And there you go. I mean,
but you they're
the brightest
the
creatures.
Bottom one gets dropped. I don't know how long it takes. It takes a while to get all of them dropped.
They're underwater.
Yeah, that's my point. So I'm saying they might have just like adhered right in where that thing was, and they just sat there. And then to have that many sit there, I know what.
That's what else. The first one we have hanging on the crane. There's
no clay to push out.
Maybe there was sturgeon on the other side.
Maybe the sturgeon were scaring them up there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like
sturgeon going, close the gate. Close the gate. Sturgeon are coming.
Oh, crap. It's like, okay, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. Or there was sturgeon. Like she said, there's sturgeon down below. And they're like, oh, sturgeon, close the gate. Okay, I'm too close. Crunch.
Wow.
You're sturgeon bait. Yeah.
Okay, we have one additional item.
No!
I'd like to add.
No!
And that's the trash rake. It's your trash rake.
No.
It's your trash rake.
We still have to approve
an Ice Harbor form.
Have to approve an Ice Harbor form.
What do you got on my trash rake?
Don't put your undies in the bunch just yet.
Too late.
Well, as you all know, trash rake improvements are going to be CRFM funded. However, there's the dredging issue in the forebay that needs to happen this winter.
Yeah.
Moving forward, and there's no funding for plans or specs or dredge work at all. Zero.
Oh, well. What a happy story.
So, and you guys are bitching about the debris my platforms might be putting in there. I think there's a mound of 6,000 cubic feet of dirt that's going to go in there
way before 600 cubic yards
of debris sitting in front of the chute. And you're going to worry about a couple platforms? Come on!
I'm worried about your platforms.
I'd be more worried about your 61 cubic yards of debris sitting right in front of the T2 turbine.
I'm worried about that, too.
I would be. And they have no money to do any dredging.
That's what I'm being told. It's $500,000 to dredge to get it back to 1982.
It's my action item. I have it.
Levels.
It's okay. We'll just go ahead and let the fuses blow off.
Seems to be the new option
there.
Then we'll call an emergency and then we can go do something about it.
Dredging has to happen to get a new trash rate. Trash rates.
Why are you doing this to us?
Why?
Why am I?
You're... Come on, Debbie Downer.
Straight from Tommy Two Face.
I know. Two Face calling you a downer. You know it's bad.
That was bad.
So, that one was right out of the blue to me. Well, I hadn't heard that one before.
That's a new one on me, too.
Wow,
I'm having trouble getting
I think he's having a bad week.
Yeah.
He's going to curl twice in a day.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
So,
So
but maybe it'll get resolved if we need
So you need funding for that, and you need funding. For so the, for the plans and specs, we can probably get funding through CRFM, so the, but the dredging one, I don't know what.
Plans and specs is not going to come from CRFM.
Oh, it's not?
No. Oh, plans and specs for the rake.
Yes.
Yes, all rake improvements, yes.
Rake improvements and the possible idea of moving the gate.
For dredging, no.
You don't need plans and specs.
Because we were going to try and do dredging before.
But they probably have an EIS.
In February. Well, yeah, I mean, we'd have to get the permit, but we were going to do this in February, you recall. We were going to get enough money to do it. So I don't know why we cannot take that documentation and beef it up if we need
is it an EIS or an EA? I mean, this is crazy.
I don't know. It's my action item to track it down.
I think it's in EIS each time. Yeah.
Just to do a four-bay dredge?
I don't know about just the four-bay, but, you know, usually for us it's just a tail race and or that we got the area up above granite up there.
I can see where that might be EIS.
Yeah, that one's
EIS. I don't think this one
issues. This one, it's probably going to be an upland disposal.
The project area.
I think it's covered under one of the CADEX.
It's like this mound of debris sitting right
in the lead. So an EA does seem more appropriate, yeah.
One hopes.
Yeah, categorical if you already have something, but this is normal maintenance.
Yeah, why this is going to require another survey is a bit of a confusing issue for me as well, since we did just survey it last year.
Okay, well, that's...
Unless they want to survey because of the removal of conduit. Is that what they're thinking?
It doesn't matter.
Or maybe more stuff there.
That's a possibility, though. That makes sense.
Well, that's not going to happen. They're going to have to go with the information they have and call it good.
She's going to see the commander later.
Two snaps in a...
This is why we get hauled to the commander.
All right, Tammy, keep moving. Are we going to the ice harbor?
Okay, so now we're on to the ice harbor.
Final comments on this thing.
So,
what do
you got?
What?
Just wanted to make sure that you understood that we did say this needs to be done last year, and now it's not...
Action item next week. Next,
not finished this year, and I think that is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable.
And there's a timeline for these plans and specs to get to the contractor. So,
okay, I've got it.
Action item July. Boom, done. Thank you. Ice Harbor, you're done.
Good. We're done. Ice Harbor traveling screen cleaning. We'll discuss that the past 2 months. It finally. Here's the final one right here with the corrections in it. But we F1 wanted it last month.
Time do they settle on? 4 hours?
We settled on what Heveland prefers is 4 hours.
I'm done. That's fine. 4 hours. Done. Dandy do.
Done.
You're done. Get on the road.
Thank you.
Anyone have any questions about that one?
Yeah.
And why am I chairing this meeting all of a sudden? What's this damn chair? This damn chair!
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What happened to Scribble? Great.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned at 3:30.